Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National E.N. Payments call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star then zero. As a reminder, the conference is being recorded May 19th,  2015. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Janet Cousin. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Kayla, and thank you for joining us today. Good afternoon, everyone. Joining me is Deborah Tennessee, manager of the ticket operations department for the program. We also have Katie Streibinger and Natalie Sendeldorfer, who are members of the Social Security Administration Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support with us today. Today's topic will be continuing to prepare you for the upcoming transition to the new E.N. ticket portal. And we're going to be providing additional details on how payments functions are performed in the new ticket portal, with some comparisons to the current secure provider portal process for those similar functions. We will be using a presentation for the call. That presentation has been posted on our yourtickettowork.com website under the events page for this call, and we have it available through the web to follow along during this session. It will be interactive, and you'll be invited to ask questions once the presentation is finished. Please remember not to provide any details regarding your personal work cases when asking those questions due to confidentiality concerns. And again, you may also ask questions in your chat room. We have a member of our marketing team managing the chat room, and certainly if we're not able to address all of your questions during the call or via the chat room, we will make sure that someone does get back to you after the call to follow up. We also have a special guest with us, one of our national ENs that's been involved with the program since 2003. Linda Patino is with the Tulare County Office of Education Ticket to Success program, and she'll be sharing her experiences as a pilot EN involved with the new ticket portal program. So let's get started. We have a lot of good information for you today. All right, so our agenda again, we're going to take some time to look at in a little more detail than you've seen before, how to perform payments functions in the new ticket portal. And then our special guest, Linda, will share her experiences as a pilot EN. And then we'll have some updates on the new ticket portal rollout. And as mentioned, we'll have some time for you to ask your questions. All right, so let's take a look at two particular features and functions within the new ticket portal. It's really been designed to streamline many of the key payments functions and provide real-time updates for your transactions. Yes, I said real-time updates. So in today's presentation, we'll review how you perform those functions in the new ticket portal and, again, compare how those are performed in the secure provider portal. So the first thing we'll look at is the actual process for submitting payment requests. Secondly, we'll take a look at the status reports. For those of you that are current Secure Provider Portal users, you're very familiar with the 14-step process from beginning to end to complete the 7-section payment request form. I think you'll be pleased to see how that's been streamlined in the new system. We'll also look at the payment status process in the new ticket system as compared to the EN payment status report that you're used to checking today. All right, so let's start with the payment request process. So this is a screenshot of the main menu of the new ticket portal. You'll see there's several functions here The assignment list includes a couple of key features there. Besides payments, there's also assigned and unassigned beneficiaries. There's a way to view your directory information as an EN or SVR, and there's a feature called case notes. You will receive detailed training on each of these functions and features prior to your registration and before you begin using this new portal process, so don't be alarmed about that. This presentation is really just to highlight and focus on the payments processes. So we'll take a look at how you will request a payment by SSN and the various options for viewing payment statuses via that view payments already made to me and the view all pending payments for me feature. As mentioned, there really are five distinct steps for submitting a payment request. And here you'll see once you click on request payment, then you'll see this screen at the top, list of SSA beneficiaries currently assigned to me. So the first requirement is to is to retrieve those SSNs in order to select one that you'll be submitting a payment request for. And from this screen, the actions screen is also an option where you will then see the subsequent screen below, which lists various features and functions that you can perform from this screen. Requesting a payment is one of those options. So the next step here is once you select the SSN and input that SSN, you will be prompted for the claim month. When you enter the claim month for the month that you are requesting your payment, it's important for you to consider which payment type you are requesting. So there's a table that's included here relative to the Phase 1 milestone payment request. Because as you can see, and you should be familiar with, there are various requirements for each milestone step of the Phase 1 payment process. So in considering which month to select, you need to keep in mind what those requirements are. Only one payment request can be submitted at a time. Each payment request automatically creates a work case in the system that our payments processing team uses to review and manage your request. So again, for example, in the table, you'll see a Phase 1 Milestone 2, the requirements for 2015 of earnings of $780 a month for 3 months within a 6-month period. It is the third month of that requirement in which the beneficiary earned the trial work level, and that's the claim month that you should be specifying in this screen. It can be, you know, initially a little confusing, and if for any reason you're not sure, the training materials you'll have will reference this table, and if you submit multiple claim months for the same payment request, the additional months will be denied as a duplicate request, and a single claim month work case will be processed for that request. But again, you'll be able to follow along in looking at your status reports online through the system. Okay, so you've submitted your claim month, and now the next step here is it will prompt you to select the payment method type if you did not access the screen from a beneficiary record. And the point of that is there's various ways that you can get to the payment request process. The system allows you to access the payment request process from one of the other screens. For example, if you're looking at your assignments, you're looking at a particular SSN, and you'll be able to go directly into a payment request with that SSN, and certainly it won't prompt you to enter the SSN. But in this case, and it will in that case also know what payment method is associated with that SSN. So here you can select, in the example, it's showing an outcome as the payment method type. Now, if there's sufficient earnings in SSA system to qualify for the payment, you will receive an alert and you won't need to add any earnings. Otherwise, the next question to consider is if you have earnings to enter. And you would click yes on that radio button to add those earnings. Now, in this new portal system, the only payment requests allowed are evidentiary payment requests. And as you know, evidentiary payment requests do require evidence of the request. So pay stubs, the work number report, an employer-prepared earnings statement, any of those types of earnings will help qualify you for that evidentiary payment request. We'll talk about the adding a note feature in a future page. All right, so let's say you said yes, you wanted to enter earnings. And so the next step of this step three is to key those earnings in. So this is new for you current secure provider portal users. This screen allows you to enter the ticket holder earnings details. And you'll be prompted to enter in the employer name, again, what evidence type, and we've got a list of them here on the screen, pay stubs, the work number, employer-prepared earnings statements, and then enter in the details, the pay period start date, pay period end date, the pay date, and the gross amount paid. This is important because with each request, you know, today you're faxing in that information. Our team is keying it in at the end. This ensures and gives you an opportunity to enter in those details and ensure that we have captured that information. You'll click Save and Continue. The next step is to review the information that you've entered. So you'll receive a table here listing all of the evidence that you've entered in. And in this example, we have Walmart as the employer, we've got a pay stub as the evidentiary type, the start and end date, the pay date, and the gross amount. The net amount is also going to be available there for you. If you find that something was entered in incorrectly, there's an edit or even a delete function that allows you to remove and start over or make a correction to an entry. This screen allows you to enter up to 25 different earning types per request. If you need to enter more or have additional earnings information for your claim month, then you certainly can include that information once it's been submitted in the future screen. We'll cover that. The other key note here is that if your pay period overlaps 2 months, say you've got a pay period that starts in January, ends in February, and you've already entered the earnings for the first month, all of your January information, then you don't need to re-enter that information again. Those earnings will be referenced in the Social Security Administration system. All right, so the next step of this step four is the note feature. So here you have the option of adding yes into the radio button. If you click that, you'll have a window available that allows you to enter any details that you want our payment processing team to see. So there's a character limitation. There's some details here on what types of characters you can include. There's a maximum number of characters. And just to be aware that these notes are visible to the payment specialist that will be processing this claim and able to review those. All right, so what's the next step? Actually, let me go back because there's one other key piece on this slide. Besides adding the earnings, right below that, you'll see a box that has a check in it that says proof of earnings will be faxed in. That is important. When you enter earnings in this screen, that box will automatically be checked. And what we need to have you do is include all of the documents, the pay stub in this example, the employer prepared statement as well, and include those with your fax submission that you'll be sending in for this payment request. On this next page, we have an example of what that fax cover sheet looks like. Again, if you've entered earnings on the previous page or you manually check that box to create a fax cover sheet, this page will be your next visible page. You can click on the download fax mail cover sheet, and this will allow you to save this cover sheet as a PDF document on your hard drive. We do suggest that you save these cover sheets until you have confirmation that the fax has been transmitted and you can see the update on your status of the work case that was created as a result of this request. This document can also be saved as a hard copy if you have an eFax solution that you're using at your location. This document can be merged with your electronic documents and submitted through that eFax solution for receipt into our system. Once you've completed printing or saving your fax cover sheet, then next to the SSN name at the top there, you can return to the More Action screen by clicking on that link. So let's discuss some key items associated with faxing. When you fax in your earnings evidence, whether you're using a fax machine, a physical machine, or an eFax solution, your documentation is automatically linked to the work case that is created in our system. That's important, and that's an automated feature that will help reduce the processing time on the back end for your request. This cover sheet, it does have a one-time use. So if you submit your request and then you find that you need to resubmit some additional documents, maybe you left off some pay stubs or you found another document you want to include with that same work case, then you can generate another fax cover sheet and we'll review how to do that in the pending payments for me screen that we'll review later on in the presentation. The other thing to know is that you can fax multiple payment requests at the same time, as long as each cover sheet is followed by the associated evidence. So, for example, you have a payment processor, they're sitting down, they're submitting five different payment requests through the system and generating five different cover sheets. Each cover sheet has different documents that need to go with each work case. So you can stack all five of those, making sure that the cover sheet and the evidence associated with it are one behind the other, and send the fax as a complete single transmission. And the fax server on the other end will separate those, automatically associate them with the case, and keep things going. Now, there is a cutoff time for submitting your faxes. There's a 9 business day deadline for the payment request. So we do recommend that as soon as you generate the fax cover sheet, you take your documents and get that submitted to us as quickly as possible. Otherwise, the work case will be denied, indicating that there's insufficient documentation. All right, so let's talk about this relative to the Secure Provider Portal. So in the Secure Provider Portal, you're basically uploading a payment request form or you're filling in that form through the website. That process does allow you to submit multiple claim months and multiple requests. However, with the new ticket portal, you must submit one payment request at a time. And there's a reason for that. With each payment request submitted through the new portal, a work case is automatically created immediately. You have that work case number, and you have the ability to check and verify the status of that work case immediately. With the current process, the Secure Provider Portal, you're submitting your documents. You get a confirmation of the submission, but then you have to wait until that information is reflected on the payment status report to see the actual work case. And what's happening behind the scenes is that our payments team is really separating each of those out and creating individual work cases for each claim month. Number two, only evidentiary payment requests are allowed in the new ticket portal. And that's important to note. There will be future communications associated with certified payment requests that will be forthcoming from the Social Security Administration team. Three, the new ticket portal will not prompt for earnings if there are sufficient earnings in the SSA system. So there's a future enhancement that will be taking place in the new ticket portal. Once you enter that SSN number for the ticket holder and the claim month that you're requesting, there will be linkages into various databases that maintain earnings information, and it could potentially come back to you and tell you there's enough earnings to verify trial work level has been met or SGA, what have you, for that particular payment type, and no earnings will need to be submitted. It's a very nice feature. Number four, you can enter earnings information in one screen, and it's automatically pushed to SSA system for verification. So again, the ease of use in the new tool should help in saving time when you submit your request to us. Number five, a payment request form is no longer required, but the requirements for that payment request must be met before requesting a payment through the portal. So again, you know, there are key requirements for your payment request. The new ticket portal will accept evidentiary payments, will require you to submit the evidence at this time until the future enhancement where it can automatically verify earnings. But again, it streamlines the process for you. And lastly, number six, with real-time updates, there really is no need to provide a confirmation number and the transaction history report, which is available in the current Secure Provider Portal, because you can view the status of your work cases that you've submitted immediately after submission. And let's take a look at how to do that. All right, so back to the main screen in the new ticket portal. Again, there are two items under the payment section that refer to statuses of payment requests that have been submitted. The first option here is View Payments Already Made to Me. Now, this option includes all the payments that have been processed and are closed. You'll see Paid Payment Request here, and you'll see Denied Payment Request here. Your Denied Payment Request will refer to a denial reason code that you'll be able to see why it was denied. And certainly, any requests that have been sent to the Treasury for payment are also referenced in this option. The second option here, View All Pending Payments. Now, this is all payments that are pending, i.e., they've been diarized for some reason. We need some information from you. Maybe you didn't have evidence for that Phase 1 milestone request or for some other reason. And we'll be a diary reason code that you'll be able to reference in order to see why that payment request is pending and diaried. So let's take a closer look at these two options. So first, if you select the View Payments Already Made to Me link, this is what you'll see. The smaller window at the top, I hope that's clear for everyone to see. But this one up here, it gives you the option to select a date range. And yes, all of your history that you have visibility to in the current Secure Provider Portal will be available to you in the new portal. So again, you enter the dates that you wish to search for, and there is a limit of 1 year. So if you want to see multiple years, make a selection of 1 year, no more than 1 year at a time. But you can see multiple years. When you see the second screen here, the results will be displayed, and you have several options on this screen. The download entire list to Excel is available here, as it was and still is in the current portal, so you can certainly export this to an Excel file. There's a couple of help screens available to you as well. The spreadsheet help and the table help screen gives you some details on relative to the Excel spreadsheet and the table that's visible to you on this page. The other options are to print the page, and there's some ticket payment amounts that are available to you as well if you need to see those. The denial codes, if there are any denied payment requests, are also visible by clicking on the denial link under the denial code column. You'll see the code there, 02 in the screen shown here, and there's an actions link next to each record where that is visible. The actions link will display more action screen for that particular beneficiary as well. All right, so again, looking at this View Payments Already Made to Me link, as mentioned, the what's available here, we covered the denial codes, ticket payment amounts, spreadsheet help, and downloading the entire list via an Excel spreadsheet. All right, let's look at the second feature, View All Pending Payments for Me link. So this is the screen that you'll look at any pending payments that have not been completely processed yet. It's a display-only screen, and it will show all of those open pending payments that have not been sent to the Treasury as of yet. Again, you have similar options. You can print this particular page. You can print all the pending payments. As you can see in this example, there's multiple pages that you can scroll through, moving to the left on the display there. There's also the download to an Excel file option, your spreadsheet help and table help, as well as diary codes. So in this case, if there's a Y under the diaries column, then this case has been diaried, and if you click on the actions link to the right of that Y, you have the ability to see the details on that, why that case has been diaried. The other option in the action screen is if you need to print additional fax cover sheets for that work case, the actions menu will give you that option. Let's take a look at that. So here we have the More Actions screen, and it shows the six different options that you have available. Again, you can look at the payments, you can look at assignments, you can fax additional information and generate another fax cover sheet, view and manage your case notes. Those are all options that were available back on the main menu, but the action screen allows you to go directly to that function without having to go all the way back to the main menu. If you're here and you want to request a brand new payment, there's an option to do that as well. And then lastly, you can show the diaries. The second screen on this page again, provides more details on faxing additional information. So here, if you choose that you want to fax additional information, it will prompt you what type of document is it that you want to fax in, and it provides a list of different document types. It also gives you an option to add a note as seen on the payment request screen. So again, from that action screen, if you click on the Show Pending Payments link, you can again see the pending payments screen. And this, again, is a display-only screen that provides details on those payments that have not been sent to the Treasury. So let's do a quick comparison. So on the left here, we have some features from the Secure Provider Portal and then those on the new Ticket Portal. So the first bullet here is referring to the status updates. In the current Secure Provider Portal, there is a batch process that runs to provide updates on status of the request that you've submitted. This batch process runs nightly, but really it can be at least a two-day turnaround before you have your work case for the submission you've made and the status of that case as it's being processed within the 30-day processing window. The new ticket portal, it's real time. As soon as you submit that payment request, you can go right into one of the status screens and you'll see that work case immediately. Accessibility. So again, from the main menu of the Secure Provider Portal, you'll perform all of your functions. There's a list of functions and features available for you, and you'll perform those functions from the main menu. In the new Ticket Portal, the action screen is nice because as you're performing various functions, you don't have to keep going back to the main menu. You can go directly to that area where you want to perform a feature or see data from those action screens. So it provides a little shortcut for you. And then the last two are really similar functions and features that both systems have. So you're not losing the ability to export to an Excel spreadsheet. You still have the details associated with why your payment request was denied or why it's been placed into a diary status and if there's any actions that you need to perform in order to keep that payment request moving along from diary to completion. So let's talk about a couple of things that you need to do to prepare for the new ticket portal. I hope you're excited about the new features, the streamlined process that has been implemented here, and what we want to make sure is that you have reviewed all of the requirements for registration and you submit those requirements as soon as possible. Our Ticket to Work website has a link available that gives you details on the suitability requirements, the new registration process through mysSA.gov, and the steps that you need to take to complete your registration for the new tool. Secondly, because of what we reviewed in terms of submitting one claim month at a time, it may be helpful for you to ensure that your payment processing team review those phase one milestone criteria so that you're familiar with which claim month you should be using when you're submitting your payment request through the new portal process. Thirdly, ensure that your payments processing staff have access to a fax machine or an eFax solution, and they've all been trained on how to use it. The current provider portal does allow you to upload documents that's not available through the new ticket portal. However, again, in the long term, there will be options or features involved that may not require you to submit any documentation. But in the meanwhile, we need to make sure that you are prepared to fax in your documents or use an eFax solution when submitting all of your documents for your evidentiary payment requests. And then lastly, just be prepared for a more streamlined process. You'll have real-time status updates. We hope that this will allow you to expedite some of your processing and provide easier navigation and reduce the time required to submit and monitor and manage your payment requests. Now, while the preferred method of submitting payment request forms is to use the new ticket portal and take advantage of those streamlined processes and real-time updates I've spoken about before, however, if you're not able to use the new ticket portal for any reason, and you also have, we want to make sure that you have the options to complete your payment request form manually by going to the Information Center and selecting the form under the Payment section. And once that form is complete, you have some options to send them in to us. So the current fax number that we're using and managing here at the Operations Support Manager is still going to be available to you. That number will not change. We also still will request documents that are mailed to us, and the mailing address hasn't changed either. Be sure that when you're submitting any documents to us that the form that is included is fully complete. This will ensure that there's no delays in processing those requests. Any partially completed payment request forms will not be processed and we'll have to send those back to you. Now, we've also included a method of requesting payment status for those of you that, again, will not be able to use the new portal. We do hope and encourage you to use that new portal, but if you have to use manual processes, those are still available, and you can submit your request for status or give us a call at the EN Payments Help Desk, as noted here. Okay, guys, well, that completes the presentation. What do you think? I hope you're excited about it. Again, we're focusing on streamlining the process for you and reducing the number of steps required to submit payment requests. We have our special guest, Linda Patino, on the line, and as mentioned earlier, I'd like to invite her to share her experiences with you so you can see and hear how things have been going for her and what her thoughts are about using the new ticket portal. Linda?
Hi, Janet. Thank you so much for the invite today. I know we're talking all about payments, so I'll kind of focus on that because I know that's what you want to hear. We're actually about half, I would say about 50% of the individuals that we're working with are working. They're employed. So we're processing a lot of claims that are going through the portal. And when we started on the pilot in October, it wasn't a feature we could do. We could just look at it. And what, you know, we really didn't get to experience it right away. But as time progressed and it evolved into what it is now, it's been wonderful. I, like a lot of other individuals, was very skeptic. Is this going to make our job easier or more difficult? So I appreciate all the listening ears and the changes that have been made to make this process a little bit easier for us. And I have to say it is so much easier as far as the paperwork. You don't have all the forms that you have to complete. You go in, put the Social Security number in, put the date that you want to claim if you've already evaluated what your claim month is going to be, enter the data that you have, and then once you click the submit, you can go to your view pending file that you had brought up and you are pending payments, and it will be there. So the real time is awesome. It's we've been able to process each one of the phase ones, the phase two milestones, the outcome. All of the payments have been processed the last couple months. We have processed all of our payments through this. And the key area is it's less paperwork. The processing time, on average, I am getting paid in 10 days. So, for instance, if I submit, I enter the data on the 5th of the month, by the 15th, I have the pay in the bank. The deposit's been made. So it's been on average about 10 days, a few days here or there, if it's something I missed and had to go back in and add to, or if it got denied and I had to resubmit. But that has helped. And the new feature also to be able to fax information after the fact. So, and I'll give you a situation I ran into. I had check stubs available that I wanted to submit for this individual, and there was like one in between that was missing, but yet I had the one before and the one after and did the year-to-date and added a supplemental form to the process. And I was able to get that information into the portal. Well, it went into the diary, and what happened then is a day or two later, the individual actually found the check stub and got it to me, so I was able to go in and use that feature, print out the new fact sheet, and submit that missing check stub so that way it didn't delay the process on us getting paid, which is good. That's a key for the success of an employment network is to keep the money coming in so we can keep the service going to those individuals. As far as there was a lot of question about what type of payments or actually the evidence, I've been able to use, and some of this in combination, the BPQI, I've used that as evidence. I've used the QBER. I still had my QBER. I'd saved a copy, and so some of those I could still use. I've used the supplemental form along with the pay stubs. And I've used the work number and employer statement, signed statement. So all of these I've been able to use as evidence in one form or another. One thing to remember is usually if it's a BPQI or a QBER that you're using as evidence, that information should already be in Social Security's system. So what happens is you go in and you select what type of payment. And when you get to the option of is there earnings or not, you're going to say no, but you add a comment that says that the information is taken from the QBER or from the BPQI. That allows them to see this is what you're basing your request on. And I haven't found any that I've been denied so far because I usually double-check everything. The other thing that I don't think was mentioned in the presentation, you can actually add up to 25 lines now for earnings. So that allows that information to go directly into their system. And once they do receive the facts with the evidence, they're able to validate this information and hopefully pay you soon. The option to tracking, I like to control where my payments are. I want to know that they've been received. I want to know if they've been approved or denied so I can respond to that. And with a new portal, the process there, being able to view the payments and the pending payments and where they're at in the flow of things has been a tremendous help. I'm able to follow up a lot faster, and like I say, I'm getting paid faster than I think I ever have. I don't have to wait 30 days to really know what's going on. I'm able to get that done quickly. I think that kind of covers everything that I wanted to bring up. I have faxed through a regular fax machine, and I've used the eFax where I scan my pay stubs in and fax it along with a cover sheet to Social Security using their number. So I haven't been turned down from using that method. I think that's it, Janet, unless there's any question. I do want to highlight the mobility of being able to sign into the portal. I can be at different locations. I do a lot of work too off hours on my own at home on the weekends or after hours, and I've been able to access the portal from either one of those locations to be able to submit payments or add information if it's missing. So I really love it. I fell in love with it, and I know it keeps evolving, and I appreciate all the effort in going into having this available for EMs to use. So that's it.
Great, Linda. Thank you so very much for joining us today and for sharing your feedback. It's really been beneficial for the project team as well to have you as a member of the pilot group. There has been some extra effort on your part and all of the pilot team members to do the testing that we've asked you to do, to be involved with the meetings and review discussions. So we really appreciate your participation in that as well. Now, one thing that you mentioned, and that is in terms of the registration process, and let me just mention that again as a reminder for those that may not remember from our previous presentation, but in the current secure provider portal, to log in, you have a login and password, but you also have the phone factor verification. So you have a phone number where the system dials that number. You have to answer and acknowledge receipt of the phone call as an extra layer of security. In the new portal, instead of using a phone factor, we have a texting process. And so you have to have a method of receiving a text message. And with that text message, it does allow you to be more mobile, as you had pointed out. So that's the major difference there with the registration. So, again, thanks, Linda, for all of your feedback and, again, your participation in the pilot. Kayla, what I'd like to do now is open the lines for questions and see if we have anyone that's interested in asking any questions at this point.
Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. One moment for your first question. Your first question is from the line of David Hoff.
Hi, good afternoon. I am doing work with a number of ENs here in Massachusetts in terms of technical support on tickets that are involved with the U.S. Department of Labor Disability Employment Initiative. Two questions. Number one, and I think it was also in the chat box here, I'm working with workforce systems and who are on ePay, and will this new system sort of, will ePay still be in effect? And the second question, which I asked on last month's call, or I don't know if it was last month or 2 months ago, but I have sites that are having serious issues with ePay. You know, this was supposed to be an automated system where they did not have to be continuously following up. I have sites that have been over a year waiting for payments where they know that folks are working. And to be quite frank, I mean, what was supposed to be an automated system that is supposed to be saving work is actually creating all sorts of work. And frankly, I'll be quite honest, a lack of trust in whether, you know, the sites are getting all the payments that they're entitled to, and they're having to spend an enormous amount of time following up and trying to find out what's going on with the status of the payments. And when I asked this before, I was given this whole discussion regarding how payments are verified in different systems, but I'll be honest, as somebody who's supporting customers in this system, I'd like a response that says that we can fully trust the ePay system and that people aren't waiting over a year for payments.
This is Deborah Tennessee, and then I'm the manager of the Ticket Operations Department. You have two questions, actually. One is what's going to happen with ePay with this new portal, but let me answer your second question first. ENs should remember that earnings are not the only criteria for making a payment. Unfortunately, with the business process that we have for ePay, we do not create payment denials to let you know why we did not make a payment, even though it appears as though earnings are there. A number of times, it could be the beneficiary is not in the correct pay status. For example, a beneficiary may have earnings out there, but maybe not enough for outcome status. If it was quarterly earnings that were being used, which I know a number of the VRs and even some of the workforces may use that UCI data, we may have 1 month in that quarter that takes up just about all of those earnings for that particular quarter, which may make those other months ineligible as far as the earnings issue is concerned. So since we don't provide you with a payment denial, we just are paying under ePay what we can pay, but we're not telling you the reason why we cannot pay you. And the same thing is going to happen when Social Security goes to an automated e-pay process itself. It's going to do the same things that we're doing manually. It's going to look at its system, and we may have more current, up-to-date, and even more detailed information monthly and not just the estimate of quarterly information. And if we can, if the system can pay you, it will identify a work case just based on the earnings, push it to us to pay, but there, we have to look at the other criteria as well. For the first part of your question about ePay, and this month, since you're a workforce, we do have WIB ePay scheduled to run this month. This will be the last month we will have a particular type of ePay for WIB. Starting in June, Social Security and phases are going to actually have automated payment processes. One process, and to get ready for it, if an EN submits a payment request and they do have evidence, Social Security already has that earnings information in its database. You don't have to enter that. But at some point, starting in June, Social Security, I'm not sure if you are familiar with Social Security's initiated payment file that's run annually, but Social Security will look at all of its database for earnings and will identify situations that earnings meet a criteria for a certain type of payment, whether it's a phase one milestone, phase two milestone, or outcome, and will either create work cases for staff to perform an assessment and payment determination. And then the last phase is where Social Security will generate the payment itself. They will program the functionality or the logic into the system to look for the different things that we have to make assessments on and actually create the payment on a transaction file and send it to Treasury, and there won't be any human intervention in that. So AutoPay, ePay is going to continue at, you know, even with the implementation of this portal.
Can you make a suggestion who these sites can follow up with? Because I tell you, they're incredibly frustrated and frankly,
okay,
in terms of payments.
Okay. Really, if it's their EN, the account specialist, and I'm saying that instead of the payment help desk for the reason that I set in on the training that Maxim is conducted with, and they gave the rules, they gave the requirements, and explained to ENs at that time, you may have earnings, but you may not get paid, and gave the situation. And the cases that I've been asked to review, in every situation, we made the right assessment. There was some reason why the EN didn't get paid. I think the frustration is there with the ENs. They don't know why they didn't get paid, because we do not do payment denials. We are not able to tell you, well, right now, for this particular beneficiary, at one point they went into the outcome phase. Now they're back in current pay again, and they cannot get any payments until they go back into the outcome phase. You may not know that.
Okay.
So these are things that once we look at the details for any request that is submitted to us, we can go down, dig down to figure out what has happened. And this was part of the training. And the training did tell ENs, we are only going to pay you, you're only going to hear from us if we can pay you. So, again, there are ENs who says, oh, I'm looking at I got a latest UCI report, which is unemployment compensation income report that they get from the state. Well, that may have been a quarterly update, and we may have just processed your WIB ePay file. That happens a lot. It's the second month of the calendar quarter, and I believe it's either the third month or the first month of the following quarter that the update takes place. By the time you get money in your account when we finish processing the ePay file, there's a new quarter out there. Well, you'll get it the next time if it's enough earnings. So it's things like that. But they actually go to their EN, and I'm talking about their account manager, account specialist here at Maximus, if they have specific questions. But keep in mind the training that they were given. It should be a situation where they have evidence of something, or the EN has said to them, I've always gotten a payment every month. I've never had my payment stop. Certain situations where there have been communications with the beneficiary where they know the situation should be one where they're entitled to milestone payment.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. To ask a question, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Hi, is Katie on the line? Katie from Social Security, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we have a question in the chat room. And so I have an idea, but I think you're better.
Okay.
It's better than me. Why is the portal limited to just evidentiary payment requests?
The portal is limited to just evidentiary payment requests because it is directly creating payment requests. It is directly creating work cases in our system. So we are not going to allow certification work cases to automatically be created in our system. We are also moving towards an auto pay process. So we are trying to, certification payments usually indicate that you have earnings and that you're aware of them, but you don't have the proof. We are hoping that the auto pay process is coming forward, not the same as e-pay, but an auto pay process is coming forward. It's going to find those earnings that we already have in our system, and that is going to compensate for that, those certification payments. Also, the new e-pay process is coming forward soon. That is going to encompass more earning sources, and we're also hoping that will take care of the need for certification payments because the earning sources that we're going to have available to start generating the payment requests will have these earnings that are usually indicating that you have when you make a certification payment. So we're hoping these processes outside of you actually requesting a payment will be taken care of by the system and the upgrades that we're making. So the only payment requests that are left, if the burden of the certification payments are on our side, is that the evidentiary payments where we do not have earnings in our system, and those are earnings that are pay stubs that we don't have yet on our record or the work number. It's almost trying to cover that gap between the earnings that have hit our system that we have on our records and the earnings that you already know because you're working with the beneficiary. I hope that helped answer that question. And with I apologize for my voice.
Thank you, Katie. Any other questions?
Any other questions on the portal? You guys have an answer? Okay. Kayla, do we have any other calls on the line? Any other questions?
Yes, ma'am. You do have a question from the line of Paula Bellert.
Hi there.
Hey, Paula.
It was excellent training. Thank you. Can you give us a time frame of when we can expect to get those e-pay auto payments instead of the CUBR? Time frame.
Katie, is that something that you can provide an estimate on or future time frame?
It is coming very soon. We are working on getting everything set up now. It is coming very soon. It is coming. You will have it this summer.
You think it'll be this summer then?
Yeah.
Cool.
The new e-pay, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the other question I had was, and this isn't totally portal related, but it's similar. We were talking about that we had our own designated Social Security person for BPQIs, and I don't know if there's been any progress on that as far as it becoming out of the trial program and maybe more widespread where we all have somebody, the contact point person.
This is Katie. As I understand it, is still in trial.
It's still in trial. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. That's all my questions.
Thanks, Paula. Thanks for good questions. Thank you. Anything more, Cameron?
You do have a question from the line of Patrick here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question that most likely cannot be answered, but I was wondering if you had a rough estimate answer. We work out of Dorchester, Massachusetts, suburb of Boston, and we've had a considerable challenge getting people to submit or to fax or to scan any form of payment evidence to us. We'll get people that will find a job, put in considerable effort assisting, and once they get on with the ongoing support and they get their job under control, they sort of lose complete contact with us. We've had it happen most, if not, with at some point with all of our candidates where they've just given up giving us evidence. So we turned to the only option of submitting payment requests without faxing in pay stubs. Do you have any idea how do most DNs experience significant challenge with getting people to continue participation and obviously to begin with by sending their pay stubs? Is this something as common as I had explained?
Well, I think it has been something that's been very common, and that's why Social Security back in 2011 implemented their universal auto pay process, which are for outcome payments when beneficiaries have gone into that suspense due to work or earnings. ENs had a lot of trouble getting pay stubs. Just as you said, once they get their work in and off the rolls, it seems like if they don't need anything else, they just want to leave the ENs alone. So Social Security came up with the universal auto pay process, which is for outcome payments based on consistent earnings. We process outcome payments if you signed up and were approved for auto pay. Now, I'm talking about this now. This is something that's going to go away, these specific auto pay files that we're having. But the fact is that SSA will have earnings information in their database. So the auto pay process that's coming in the summer, as Katie just mentioned, should take care of that to a great degree. Now, in the event that you still believe that there's earnings out there, you're not getting paid. I don't know whether or not you're familiar with the work number, but a lot of ENs have gone to the work number. That's one of the pieces of evidence that Janet talked about earlier on the call. With the work number, if they're working, you can get earnings information, employer earnings, and all that if you subscribe to the work number. But I do believe in situations where, you know, that ongoing support, your EN that's in that particular stage, but the beneficiaries are not keeping in touch with you, we will find you when we implement the auto pay process.
This is Linda. If I can interject there too, it's a lot of ENs like our employment network. What we do is we have a release that is specific, so we can send it out without disclosing anything about the disability. We have them sign that release, and we can obtain that information directly from the employer if we know who they work for. We could just contact them. How do we get that earnings verification? You know, who do we send the earnings verification to? And they always request the release, signed release. So if you have that on file from the very beginning, then you're able to obtain from the employer also.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That's the one option we should have been considering all along.
Okay. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Signed release up front when you're working with your Benny and defining your IWP and just get it right up front, and then you have that on file for future, because the employer-prepared earnings statement is considered evidentiary evidence and can be submitted through the new ticket portal with your evidentiary payment request.
Thank you for your time.
Great, thanks. Good question.
Any other time? There are no further questions.
Okay, great. Well, I'd like to take a few minutes to allow Katie from the Social Security Administration Office to provide any updates on the new ticket portal rollout. Katie?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My voice is horrible, so I'm going to try to keep this brief for you all. I wanted to start with a reminder that the portal is coming, and it's coming very soon. We are going to start enrolling everyone in June, so that is right around the corner. So you need to start getting ready if you're not ready yet. You need to start the registration process, going to mysocialsecurity.gov and registering for an account with Extra Security. That Extra Security account is what is going to give you that secure text message when you log in, like Janet was referring to earlier. That is going to, that is our secure process going forward, so that account is necessary. You will be using that login that you create at mysocialsecurity.gov to log in to the new portal. You're not going to be logging into mysocialsecurity.gov to get to the portal. We're just using that security that has already been built and put in place to enroll you and register you. So please make sure, you know, you make a username that you're going to remember, you know, set a password that you're going to remember because you're going to be using this for the portal. And as well, this is going to be your account for My Social Security for your benefits going forward, which you're going to want to use when you retire. And then once you've registered, and assuming you've already completed suitability, which is required, and you're going to make sure that you have your security awareness training letter in hand, and you're going to want to contact either you're going to want to contact your EN service branch representative. If you know who that person is, you can contact them directly or contact enservice@ssa.gov if you're not sure who the right person is, and let them know when you have created that account and received the letter stating that you have extra security, which is going to, just to go into a little more detail, when you create the account and then you ask for extra security, you are going to get two letters in the mail. You get the one letter saying that you've created an account, and you're going to get another letter saying, here's your pin to go in and log in with extra security. When you do that, you're going to get a text message. When you get that text message, you know that you've been signed up with extra security. So that means that is the time that you need to contact your ENSB representative or the VR help desk, if you're an EN, a VREN. And you're going to contact them and let them know that you have everything set up and you're ready to go. Contact them with an email, and then they're going to and give them a good time to contact you back, and they're going to contact you and get you enrolled in our system. Our goal is to get everyone enrolled in the system as soon as possible. We know a lot of agencies already have one person enrolled. Please take a look at your staff and your needs, especially when it comes to the EN payments. Like the demo we just showed you, make sure that all the staff that you're going to need to do this work is enrolled. You may need more than just one person, and we want to make sure that everybody in your organization is ready to go when we're ready to start enrolling people. If you need help with any step in the process for registration, we do have materials for you on the Your Ticket to Work site and the Information Resources page. And once again, you can always contact your representative and ask them for any help or any guidance. We are here to help you. And that is the end of my spiel. So the portal is coming. We hope that giving you this demo has given you an idea of how we're going to make the payment process easier. You are no longer going to be required to do a lot of forms that you needed to do before. And a payment is going to be automatically created in our system when you hit that submit button. That is a new feature that we are really hoping that makes things easier for you. And with our process that's coming at the same time, our new e-pay process, you should be on that, clicking on that link for that view pending payments for me and the view payments already made to me and seeing how fast everything is going through our system and watching payments get posted to your account in a timely manner. And you won't have that, I know a lot of those concerns, there's a gap between I submitted it in my current portal and I'm waiting a few days to check to see if someone even got it and made the work case. You should be able to see instantly that when you hit that button and created that work case, that it actually created a payment in our system. And you'll be able to watch as that system go from something that's pending in our system to something that's paid and having that payment in Treasury. So, and once again, if you have any questions or need any help through this process, we are here to help you. And we look forward to sharing a new portal with you. Janet, do you have anything else?
Great, Katie. Thank you so very much for sharing that update. Register, register, register. That's the key message. Go out onto the yourtickettowork.com website, look under the resources tab and take a look at the link for the ticket portal and find those details. If you're not sure, call any of the help desks, systems help, payments help, your account manager, your ENSB service branch representative. We're all here and available to assist you, and we can certainly get you started if you haven't, or help you if you're somewhere along the way in one of the middle steps. But we look forward to working with you and continuing to ensure that you have the tools and solutions you need to be successful for your business.
So that's it. Thanks, Linda, again for joining us today and sharing your feedback. It's been awesome to work with you, and we're happy to have you on the pilot team. And again, thanks to everyone who joined us for today's call. We do hope that the information shared was helpful for you. If you have any follow-up questions or suggestions for future payments topics on this call, you can send those to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com or give us a call at the Payments Help Desk line. Our next All EN Payments call is back on track for the last Tuesday of the month in June. We moved it up this month because next Tuesday is right after the three-day holiday. But next month it will be on Tuesday, June 30th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Your next All EN call is June 4th. So keep that on your calendar as well. Again, thanks for joining us and hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.